Morning, everyone. Friday, July 23, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning. It is all happening. The opening ceremony of the Tokyo Games tonight. You're waking up to the news. The Aussie Roos. Well, Graham Arnold said they were going to shock the world. They shocked Argentina last night. 2-0, a fantastic performance. Goals from Lockie Wales in an absolute stunner towards the end of the match from Marco Tilio. Meant that 2-0 result as Argentina went down to 10 men just on half-time. We got drama in rugby league. Api Corrissau's under investigation for a COVID breach during Origin. And drama at the cricket pub. Morning to you, mate. So the second one-day international postponed. A positive COVID case from a non-playing member of the West Indies staff. So this was just after the toss as well that this news came through. So all members of both teams have to go back and isolate and be retested and stay in isolation until their tests are returned. But the match just being postponed, not cancelled for the moment. That's a shame for us all this morning. Morning to you, mate.
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, a bit of a surprise, Mido, to wake up to. I think both teams would be disappointed after a good first ODI from the Aussies. They want to certainly be back out on the field. So, yeah, amazing, isn't it? Toss of the coin, and then you find out. So I wonder how it's working over there, how often they are being tested, how long it takes for results to come through. I guess the scary thing now, like we've seen in the IPL and a number of bubbles around the world, that once it gets in, you know, the players are so close. You'd imagine, obviously, see the guys on the field, how close they are as teammates, but then also, you know, that communication when you're batting together in the change room. So it only takes, you know, it doesn't matter, it's not a player, it only takes one support staff member to have it, and then it, you know, we've seen things, well, we saw with the IPL how quickly it can spread. So fingers crossed, hopefully everybody's tests come back negative and we see this series finished. And I also read this morning that the boys have said yes to the Bangladesh tour, which is fantastic. So the guys will go straight from the Caribbean, assuming everything's okay, to Bangladesh, which, again, I know that's going to be very difficult. Them, like India, are really struggling controlling this virus. But I think for the game of cricket, the fact that the players are willing to go and happy to put their hand up and give it a crack, I think is a really positive step forward for the Australian cricket team.
Last night, high drama at Cbus Super Stadium on the Gold Coast. Canberra, the Raiders, they're up to eighth as it stands this morning. 12-10 against Parramatta, so their third straight win, and what a dramatic finish. I'd say, what wasn't it great, Loz, just to see an old-fashioned game of footy, a bit of an arm wrestle, and a close finish, and it was controversial. That last 5 minutes, a couple of incidents that we'll go through this morning. Morning to you, mate.
Yeah, morning, everybody. It was a good, tough game of football. Both teams had limited attack last night, but I think the Raiders have worked out what suits them best going forward, and that's a high completion rate, keep things very simple. They're not going to blow teams out of the water by scoring 30 points a game or 26 points. It's all about just completing and try and stop the opposition and back your defence to do that. Last night they had aggressive line speed. They were hitting their targets. And I think Parramatta fell into the trap of trying to out-muscle them and couldn't do it. They didn't really play a lot of football last night, Parramatta. They had their chances and moments to move the ball around. They didn't do it enough. And it became a real slogfest. And I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was a tough competition. You don't have to have big score lines to enjoy the footy. I don't think there was too many six to goes, in particular in that second half. It looked as though there was a bit more leniency given. And it was a game that I enjoyed, rather than this free-flowing football where you go from one end of the field to the other. I thought there was challenges last night. There was adversity for both teams. There was controversy. And that's what we've come to love about the game. So well done to both teams. Very important game, though, for the Raiders. They had to win that game if they were to stay in the hunt for a top eight position. They now find themselves in eighth, but that'll change over the weekend if results go against them. But they've now won three in a row. 3 weeks ago when they got beaten by the Gold Coast Titans, you could have got 126-1 about them winning the competition. They're now into $21, the Raiders. And Parramatta are now out to $15.
Yeah, Parramatta, where do we have them now? Probably just still in that second rung, exactly where they were pretty much last year heading into the finals. We just saw them just below that rung of top teams being Penrith, Melbourne and Souths.
Yeah, I think when you look at it at the moment, there's two standouts, obviously, Penrith and Melbourne. I don't think there's too many people would say they haven't been the standout teams and they are the team to beat. Then I think you've got Souths. And then after that, I think Parramatta are with Manly. I think it's Parramatta, Manly. And, you know, the Roosters could possibly join that group as well. I'd be very, very shocked, you know, if people think that, you know, there's another side out there at the moment on what we've seen so far this year that's equal of Melbourne and Penrith, because I just think they look head and shoulders above the rest. I'm not saying you can't win the competition other sides like South and Manly, but I'm just saying from what we've seen so far, for me, Melbourne and Penrith are the teams to beat.
I wonder how Power fans are feeling about everything this morning. Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Already one here, right on full time, a text last night. The worst I've ever seen last night. No penalty for Sivo in last minute. I have given footy away. Just watched the Olympics. No name to that one, but I want to go back firstly. I was blowing up about Dylan Brown obviously being offside in the ahead of the try that Sivo scored in the 76th minute. He was offside, Loz. He was a metre offside.
Yeah, he can be offside as long as you don't play a role.
When you're a metre away from the contest.
Right. So the Raiders players, when they went to make a tackle, Brown was standing in the vicinity of them and didn't allow them to go in and complete that tackle. And then when they moved the ball to Sivo and he went in the corner. So he should have been called offside for that. But you are allowed to be in front of the kicker as long as you're passive. You don't continue on and be a part of that contest which is unfolding, which he was. He got within a metre or two. It was in the Raiders players' eyesight when they were defending. I can't remember the guy who they passed it to and the Raiders player knocked it forward to, but it wasn't a clear action for them to go directly. I think it might have been to Dylan Brown. They didn't have a chance to actually get there and make that clear tackle on him.
Well, he moved towards the contest, even though he didn't play a part
in the contest. So Dylan
Brown
moves towards the contest. He's offside from the kick. But again, you can be offside as long as you're passive and you don't get involved. You're a distance from where the contest takes place. Mm. But he was right up there where the contest was happening. And then the Raiders players, once the ball came back into the arms of the Parramatta player, they were there, but they didn't have a direct line of sight and they couldn't actually get there to make the tackle. Because he was standing in the road. But, you know, at the end of the day, the decision was a correct one, even when Sivo went over in the corner. He probably was going for a shoulder charge, Rapana. There's no doubt about it. He got his body in a bad position, but he made contact with his hip. So the letter of the law, you can do a hip as long as you don't collect him in the head when you go across there.
When you do
a hip. If you make a body check and you toss him over the sideline, that's okay.
Doesn't need arms in that instance.
Not in that instance.
Only when it's a shoulder charge.
When it's a shoulder charge.
It was unbelievable. Well, the thing is, in that instance, any player would be doing what Jordan Rapana did, which is trying to effect a tackle to win you the game. Yeah, I was so worried they were going to call it a penalty, Loz, but they made a common sense decision. Para fans are going to blow up all morning, and I understand that. But
I don't know what they're going to blow up about.
Well, they're going to say that probably there were no arms in the tackle, and that's what we're conditioned to. Any sort of charge where there's no arms.
There's no rule in the rule book that says you can't go across and use your hip to bump someone out of the road. So he goes across there. He knocks him over the sideline. Yes, was he going for a shoulder charge? Probably. But I think sometimes you have to – well, you don't have to do that, but you in that moment where you're trying to stop a try, and all you're thinking about is just bracing your body just to get him over the sideline and win the game for your team. So I'm okay with that. But I also go back to the original issue was Brown being in front of the kicker and then getting a metre or metre two away from where the contest for the ball occurred. And for me, once that happened, he's a part of it. He's not being passive anymore. And it should have been a penalty to the Raiders.
The People's Publican at Queanbeyan's text in, what a great morning to be green. One of the gutsiest efforts I've seen for a long time, and it shows they are still a pretty tight-knit team. Was a pleasure to get into work this morning to see my head cleaner and paraphernatic, the can man, this morning. Well done, Ricky, for his persistence, and he's forced his cleaner there to have a well, he's having a picture with him in front of a picture of Jared, poster of Jared Croker there in the background. Poster there proudly hanging of Jordan Rapana as well. What a play from Rapana.
He was very good last night.
Outstanding play.
He was excellent last night, Jordan Rapana. I know he's got an error or two in him at times, but his energy was infectious. He carried the ball strongly. The thing that stood out for me last night was the Raiders players, the way that they were tackling, just getting forward and just putting on shots and being nice and aggressive. And again, I think we get back to against Manly a couple of weeks ago. They simplified their game plan. You know, they're not a free-flowing side that'll move the football from sideline to sideline. It's all about high completions now and just playing through the middle and being tough. And you look at what Rapana done, 25 carries, 261 metres. Their back five were sensational. I thought Tom Starling off the bench was terrific, but Josh Hodgson, his ability to go from hooker to play into the back row and play like a running back rower, was superb, and he's the leader and he's the voice of that particular team. Corey Harawira-Naera, I thought, was excellent in playing his best football. And, you know, they did it without Josh Papali'i. Sam Williams and Matt Frawley have worked on their combination, so that's getting a little bit better. But Joe Tarpany got an opportunity to start last night, and I thought he took Parramatta on by himself in the early exchanges.
He's a good player.
He's just big and strong. He got good footwork. Parramatta didn't give up, but they just didn't do enough with the ball. You know, they had their moments to move the ball, but I think they thought, you know what? They're trying to out-muscle us. We're going to get back into them and try and out-muscle them. And it became a war of attrition through the middle. And it was just set for set where they were trying to bash one another. I actually enjoyed the game. I thought it was a good contest.
What weird viewing is going to be tonight, pup. The opening ceremony at Tokyo, Kate Campbell and Paddy Mills. What a moment for them. They're going to carry the Australian flag with about 50 Aussie athletes following them and just media and officials in the crowd, but to a global audience of hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah, exciting for all the Olympians, certainly for those two Aussies as well. So, yeah, congratulations to them. Wish them all the best. And, yeah, there won't be too many not watching it. Mido, unfortunately, we haven't got much else to do in this state. That's for sure. And hopefully all of Australia get behind the athletes. But, yeah, exciting, different. There's no doubt about it. I can't imagine for the Olympians that have been to an Olympics, I can't imagine what they're feeling at the moment. It would be very surreal and very different over there in Tokyo. I'd imagine everybody would be having their, you know, fingers and toes crossed that there's not too many people that test positive, because there's already a few from different countries. But hopefully the games go ahead and we see the Aussies absolutely smoke it.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, the Ollie Roos, if you're just waking up, have beaten Argentina last night, 2-0. Outstanding. We can't play this down. A big A-League influence in that Ollie Roos side against such a football powerhouse of Argentina in our first Olympics tournament since 2008, and they've come out and rolled Argentina. Outstanding, pup.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. What a performance, and what a start as well for Australia. I actually thought I read that wrong. When I first opened my eyes this morning, I looked at that and was like, oh, no, they must have written it the wrong way. What a performance. And Argentina as well, like you say, Mido, for me, growing up as a kid, Italy, Argentina and Brazil were just the absolute standouts. So good on the Aussies. Who knows?
Who knows?
Medal contention. Who knows?
That's it. Who knows?
Group of dreams. Not the group of dreams. Group of dreams. So well done to Arnie and his team. When you think about it, you're right, Mido. They had a handful of unproven European players. They've got A-League players. I actually watched the last 30 minutes of it before I went into the Matty John show last night, and I saw a guy come off the bench, Tilio. And within a minute, he'd scored a goal to take it to 2-0 for the Aussies. And it was a superb strike. It was as good as you see. Mm. So well done to Graham Arnold and his team. It's just the fifth time an Australian men's team have won at the Olympic Games, and only the second time since the turn of the century. So well done to them. And they play Spain on Saturday night. And Spain had a draw with Egypt, which was surprising because there was a couple of those players that played for Spain that participated in the Euros.
Right.
So that was a shock result as well when they had a nil or draw against Egypt. So it gives Australia some hope now. So you'd think if they can win one game, or possibly even if they had two draws, would that get them in?
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, they should be sweet.
Yeah.
But another win, perfect.
Well, win would be perfect, but if they can get a couple of draws out of this, they should be able to get through to the quarterfinals, and what an achievement that'd be. So well done to the Aussies.
Headlines are next. Well, we're going to go to the front page of the Daily Telegraph this morning. Appy days may be over. So Appy Coruscant is under investigation from the NRL Integrity Unit for allegedly bringing a woman into the Blues Origin bubble before and after game two. So, not good news in light of the Jai Arrow incident, of course. The Telegraph saying that Coruscant's wife, Amy, she's gone to Queensland after he apologised over the incident. So we'll see what comes out of this. But if proven to be guilty of bringing someone outside the bubble inside, you could say he'll be hit with a pretty hard whack.
Yeah, you'd think so. If the allegations are true, you'd think that Appy will be finding himself on the sideline for a few weeks and copping a big financial penalty. The same thing happened to Jai Arrow. It was one of those ones that caught me by surprise, because usually these type of things get out in the open pretty quickly. So when it was breaking last night, I think everyone was caught by surprise, given that New South Wales had brought in private security guards and all that type of stuff. But it just goes to show, Mido, no matter how good your security is at times, people can always find ways to break rules.
Yep, absolutely. Roo, little ripper on the back page of the telly. We were just talking about it before, the Oli Roos, 2-0 over Argentina. What a start to their campaign in Tokyo. Argentina red-faced after massive upset. One of their players was sent off. He got two yellow cards within a minute just before the halftime break, so that certainly gave the Oli Roos a great advantage as well, and they went on to secure that 2-0 victory. Now, in the Sydney Morning Herald today, Campbell says team will cope as McEwen drops medley. Now, Clarkie, Kaylee McEwen, one of our real big stars of the pool, she's pulled out of the 200-metre medley. Her individual events are now just the 100 and 200-metre backstroke, plus she'll, of course, compete in the medley relays. She is ranked number one in the world in those three events. Now, Aussie coach Rowan Taylor says that she wants to save herself with such a tight schedule to contend with. I can only imagine the pressure some of these athletes are feeling as they get over there and the reality of everything sinks in. But her schedule, so when you talk heats, semis and a final, very, very condensed. Heck, so she's got over there and just made the call, okay, let's focus on the absolute, absolute pet events, which is clearly the backstroke.
Yeah, well, I think you see this regularly in the swimming with different athletes. Once they get there, they work out what their schedule is, how tight it is, their races are. As you say, you got heat, semis, and then finals. So, yeah, you can only push your body so hard if you want to be at your best. So she and her coach that know her, as well as anyone, they would have sat down, worked out, is there enough recovery time for me to be able to compete at my best? It's okay to do as many events as you can, but I think the goal would be do the ones you can that you think you got a chance of winning gold in, and give yourself every chance at that. So I think fair play. Obviously, we want her swimming in as many events as possible because she's a star, but I think, that's the core for you as the athlete, with the help of your support staff or your coach. You know what's best for you. You know your body. You know your mind. You make that call.
The other big news yesterday in rugby league world is Australia and New Zealand laws. They've pulled out of the World Cup due to COVID concerns. Tournament officials confirmed it would go ahead just a few days ago, and they are absolutely blowing up deluxe there in the Northern Hemisphere. The RFL chairman in the UK called it a selfish, parochial and cowardly decision, and they're not prepared to take this decision lying down. Both Australia and New Zealand want it postponed for another 12 months, which brings up a lot of logistical issues as well. Just the fact also the FIFA World Cup's in 12 months, they don't want it. They're worried, of course, in England that they'll just get no sort of attention due to that going on. But look, I can understand. In fact, let's face it, it was $1.10 that Australia was going to pull out of the World Cup.
It just shows you, though, where we rank international football.
Yeah, exactly right, Loz.
I mean, if it was State of Origin, we'd be pulling out.
Exactly right. So, if State of Origin was played in the UK, everyone would get on a plane.
Yeah. I do understand them, all right? And we've had this discussion a number of times about where it ranks. It shouldn't – international football should be the pinnacle. But when you've got players playing in the NRL, a lot of the clubs wouldn't want their players to travel overseas at the end of the year because it's been a long 18 months. It's been a long 2 years. So I can understand – the clubs, a lot of the players probably don't want to go into hub life again, given what they've gone through. And they think that they can't do it. They just don't want to go overseas and then run the risk of catching COVID over there because it is running rampant. So I can understand their decision. All right. So, but I just think we need to realise that that's where we see international football still at the moment. It's not a major priority. It's the NRL, it's the Origin Series. And then it's international football.
Spot on.
Because if it was that important, they would have got it done. Mm. They would have got it done. And I just think that I'm on the players and the club side. I think it's been a long couple of years for the players. And living in these hubs and running the risk of getting COVID and everything like that, I totally get it. I totally understand. Because I probably would be feeling the same. But I just think we need to understand, whether we like it or not, that's where we prioritise our football at the moment. It's club origin and then national.
Well, it's just ticked over 6 o'clock. Give us a call, 1353 53. What do you think about the World Cup being, Australia pulling out. We don't know what's going on with the status of the tournament at the moment. Also, Para fans, love to hear from you this morning. How do you feel about, what happened last night, particularly in the last 5 minutes, and also your premiership chances going forward? Send us a text, 0419 767 272. It is Friday, and it is the opening ceremony tonight for the games in Tokyo. JR is next.